Wow. A lot of stuff going on already, huh? Oh, my. I'm humbled. My name's Steve McEnroe. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, but I think sometimes we can just take for granted what God's done for us, even in the bands, how faithful our brothers and sisters are to practice and work hard week after week after year after year after year. And I just, I'm so thankful for the saints in the bands. And for you folks that went to Honduras, it is just my privilege. I feel blessed to labor with you, for you to take the sacrifice and go to Honduras and lay it all on the line. You laid it all on the line. That's just such a great example to the rest of us as a church, and I just want to give you a heartfelt thank you. It's a privilege to do church with you guys. Thank you so much. I don't know if you guys, if you realize it or not, if you've been going to this church for very long, you need to know that you are a part of that. You are a part of what God is doing. You know, we have different teams that go to different places, and this team that just went to Honduras, that's an extension of our church and what God's doing in all of our lives. And I think we need to remember that, and we need to grab a hold of that. And I would suggest that you talk to some of these people that you saw up on the stage that went to Honduras, and you ask them how you can get involved on the next trip, because it's life-changing. And you and I, we need to be in more positions where we put our faith on the line, where we're not just consumer Christians, but we're going out into the world. And there's so many different opportunities. I pray as this church that we will ramp it up, and you'll be constantly hearing about missions trips, because God has blessed us. There's a lot of people with faith that are stepping out. So again, I'm just honored to labor with you folks that went to Honduras, and thank you so much. I'm going to continue on with the Proverbs series tonight, and I'm going to do kind of a flyby teaching since we already had some stuff tonight, so I'll try to crank through this. Tonight, the topic is actually slander and gossip, and if you read the handout when you first got here, you probably went, oh boy, can't wait for this tonight. Slander and gossip. You know, even when you say that, slander and gossip, I think of like Smeagol saying Gollum, you know, slander and gossip. It's just awful. Slander and gossip. And we can always think, and you may have read this, and when you saw it, you might think that, I hope so-and-so's here. I hope they're here to get this message tonight, because they need it. And we can often think that. I'd just like to ask you tonight, during this message tonight, that you think of yourself. All right? This message is, I trust, from the Lord for all of us. For me, I'm convicted all over the place. It's been hard to prepare for this because, honestly, there's not one of us that can say, well, that's not me. No way. You just can't. So just to kind of just get ready, you know, to just consider this for yourself, that God might have something to show you tonight, and me as well, that can help us in this area of slander and gossip. So we'll start off with just an explanation, a definition of slander. I'm not sure if it's up there or not, but because this one's rolling. But slander, just an oral communication of false statements injurious to a person's reputation, or a false and malicious statement or report about someone. That's what slander is. And oh, by the way, it's sin. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." You know, and Josh mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. A fool in modern usage, the word fool in modern use is like a dolt or a simpleton, you might think of when you think of a fool. But in Scripture, generally, impiety or lack of moral good sense is implied as well. Actually, in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good." Solomon, in his writings of the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, 80 times he makes statements about fools or these people with a blind spot. The Lord even called the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus himself called the scribes and Pharisees fools. You fools. Not implying intellectual stupidity, but spiritual blindness. And I think we can play that role. We can slip into a spiritual blindness, if you will. A blind spot. I have them all over the place. My family's constantly showing them to me. No, you said this. Well, that's a blind spot. Different things. And I think slander, we can easily slip into it, and it can be a blind spot for all of us. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10 says, "Do not slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you, and you will pay for it." You see, whenever there is sin, there is a consequence. Whenever we involve ourselves in sin, whenever we stumble into sin, there will always be a consequence. Whether you know the Lord or not, there are consequences to sin. If you have sex before you get married, there will be a consequence either in the marriage to come, years down the road, there will be a consequence to that. If you steal something, if you lie, no matter what sin you step into, sooner or later, you're going to be dealing with a consequence. The same with bad decisions, with finances, or whatever it might be. There are consequences to the things that we do. And that goes along with slander and gossip as well. I like what the quote by St. John Chrysostom said, "Slander is worse than cannibalism." Wow. You know, and we all know the little saying that if you point your finger at someone, you know, "You slanderer, I know that's gossip. You better just watch it." If you point your finger at someone, you might want to notice that there's three fingers pointing back at you. It's like, oh, wait a minute here. You, me. Because we're quick to point it out. That person, if only so-and-so was here to hear this message tonight, then it would all stop. The gossip and slander would just go away. We think that. We want to point other people's faults out. But we want to remember that the next time we point out someone else's fault, that instead of jumping to conclusions, we should give the person the benefit of the doubt and reserve our judgment until all the facts are known. We're so quick to judge and to point something out or to blame someone else when we should remember that's pointing back at us. And we shouldn't be so quick until we know all the facts, what's really going on, even things that are written. Because we read, like, somebody's Facebook or whatever it might be, we read it and we think that's true. Oh, that she really did that. Oh, let me go tell this person that. Well, wait a minute. Just because it's written down doesn't necessarily mean it's true either. We got to find the facts here. We want to be careful about how we are quick to share things. Even under the Mosaic law, no charges could be brought up against anybody unless there are two or three witnesses. We see that in Deuteronomy in chapter 19. If there are two or three witnesses would come before, you could accuse someone. And Jesus himself uses that same concept when he teaches us in Matthew 18 how to respond to sin. And as a church, I think we often just miss this simple principle on how to deal with sin. Because slander and gossip is sin. Matthew 8:10 says, "So if someone has wronged you, if someone has sinned against you, whether it's slander or whatever it might be, first go to the person alone to seek reconciliation." So if that happens, rather than freaking out and going and telling all these people, "He did this, he said that, he did this," go and talk to them and work through it. If someone's offended you, go and talk to them and confront them. That's what it's biblical. It's really not that complicated. Instead of bad-mouthing it, if a person refuses to turn from it or admit it, then Matthew 18 goes on to say, then bring somebody with you and confront them and talk to them about it and bring it to them. And this is a step, I think, that we miss in the church. We miss it. And Jesus has passed it on for us. I mean, it's really not that hard a thing. So, if someone sins against you, you go and confront them. Someone says something about you that's not true, slander, or someone gossips, somebody shares a deep secret you didn't want them to. They share that with someone else, and it comes around, it comes back to you, and you're like, oh, I can't believe they told you. Personally, go to that person and have a conversation. Talk through it, work through it. Brothers and sisters, we need to be able to work through our differences. And we need to be quick to do that. Because I'll offend you. Other people will offend you. We will offend each other. That's the way we are. It just is. And we need to learn to be able to work through things and move on. But oftentimes, it goes. People will come to me and even ask, well, will you go talk to them? Well, the thing is, they offended you. You need to go talk to them and work through it. I don't really need to be in the scenario here. And just work it out as two believers. It's good to just work out. And then if for some reason you can't seem to work it out, then bring along a friend, bring along somebody, and try to, again, with a humble heart, with prayer, with God's grace, go to that person and talk to them in humility, in kindness, not all emotional, and you did this, you did that. So that, well, I may have misunderstood, but it seems like you were saying this. Can we work through this so we can get to a place where there's peace? So we need to learn how to be able to do that. Gossip, just a definition of gossip is it's a rumor or talk of a personal or typically sensational or intimate nature. Or a gossip could be a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts. A trivial, chatty talk or writing. I think writing is a big part of it, especially on computers. I mean, you can easily just share things that shouldn't be shared. That's what gossip is. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Gossip is sometimes referred to as halitosis of the mind. You know, that's like the bad breath. It's a halitosis of the mind. That's what gossip is. I think that's an accurate description. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. And that's true. I've seen it. Probably almost all of you have probably seen friends get separated because of gossip somehow. And honestly, people have come and gone to our church that for some reason gossip or slander or talk behind the scenes has turned into something. And I've had people come to me years later, years and years later, and say, when you did this, you offended me. In tears. I'm like, I didn't even know it. Please forgive me. That was 4 years ago. How come you didn't come to me before then? But that's kind of the way we're wired, I think, is we just keep it to ourselves or we tell someone else and rather than going and trying to work through it. And God has a better plan for us. We'll have differences and we need to be able to work through them. I like this quote from Morris Monde. It says, gossip is the most deadly microbe. It has neither legs nor wings. It is composed entirely of tails, and most of them have stings. So true. Another little cutesy saying here, be careful with your tongue. It's in a wet place and can easily slip. Be careful with your tongue. You know, sin is gross. It really is. And it, like I said earlier, it always there's always consequences to sin. And maybe here, maybe this, I can kind of paint a picture for you. I'm one of those guys who, if I have a nice shirt on, most likely I'll spill what I'm eating on it. you know, or a cup of coffee, slosh it while I'm driving somewhere and go into a meeting or come up on stage and there's like nobody can even look past the spot on your shirt. Well, that's kind of like me. But that can also be kind of like slander or gossip does that. It kind of causes a mark in our relationships. It causes tension or becomes awkward. Oh, there she is now. I didn't know she was going to be at the party. And that there's this thing. And you know what? It's worse than just a mark on the shirt. If you lift up the shirt, there's probably a scar. It's like hot scalding coffee or something. That slander and gossip, that sin, it maims people. It hurts people. It does. All of us have probably experienced that. And you go, oh, that's more than just a mark on my shirt. And we try to act like it is. Oh, that was nothing. But really, that really hurt me. And I'm walking around with that. And as believers in Jesus, we need to be able to talk through stuff and say, you know, I'm so sorry I scalded and scarred you. Please forgive me. But the more time that passes by, it just gets worse and it doesn't heal. Often the world will tell you, just over time, it'll go away. Well, you know what? We need to try to work through things. You and I need to be change agents. We need to just step in it and face it, talk to people, work through our differences, and move on. It's not always easy. Most of the times, it's hard. You know, I used to be involved with construction for 25 years. I worked in construction. I was a project manager at times or a job foreman at times. And we used to gossip and slander quite a bit, if I'm honest. It was kind of part of our job description almost, it seemed like, because we had, each time we get a different job, as I got further on in my electrical career, I was in bigger jobs. So I would recruit a crew. And there were certain guys that were my guys, and I would want them on my next job. So when I'd go to these project manager meetings, there'd be other project managers, and they would want their team, and they'd want some of my guys, and I'd want some of their guys. Everybody always wanted to have the best team so you could make the most money, so you'd look like a hero, and so it wouldn't be so hard for you. And so we would just talk about these people and say, well, I think he's about to divorce his wife, so I wouldn't bring him onto your job and this and that and this and the other thing. And in the business world and in the real world out there, you're probably all faced with that day to day to day to day. There's just different things. There's some office situations that it's just gross. You know, people tell me about different situations, just they hate going to work because they're always talking about somebody or something, or there's a lie or there's a rumor, or are you actually trying to bring somebody down so you yourself look better? And gossip can really taint our view of people maybe you didn't even meet. Oftentimes people will visit our church and I'll have a conversation with them. Oh, hi, where'd you come? What was your background? What church did you used to go to? And they're always like, oh, Pastor so-and-so, and he did this and that and that, and that's why I'm here now, because he's a loser. We're like, oh, wait a minute. I haven't even met this guy yet, and now you've painted this picture. I think he's a loser. So I meet him, and I say, oh, this is the loser guy that he told me. And then all of a sudden, you're not a loser at all. You're a nice man. You're a good guy. But as we can do that. We can ruin somebody's reputation before you even meet him. So we need to be careful to not talk about people because it just taints. And even politicians, it just gets out of hand. We can say, oh, those politicians, they're professional gossipers. They're professional slanderers. That's part of the job description. In fact, we like to kind of point them out, too. When we recognize a senator or somebody, is like, and their name just flows off our tongue. And we've never even met him. We don't even know him. I've never been to his house and had coffee with him. I don't even know him. But yet I think he's an idiot. Oh, I can't believe you voted that way. You're an idiot. And we do that. We'll slander and talk about, well, I don't even know the guy. I don't know anything about him. What grounds do I have to knock that person or to talk him down? But yet, we kind of like doing that. So another little saying says, silence can be beautiful. Don't break it unless you can improve it. And real quickly, I'm going to go through a little exercise that Alan Redpath did. He reports in this in his book from A Passion for Preaching is the book, but he told about something that he implemented in his church. There was a lot of gossip and slander going on. There's some things that were just really troubling him as he sought the Lord for his church. So he came up with these five questions to help us think before speaking, and he implemented it in his church. He taught it in his church, and he really adamantly just constantly remembered the people in his church about this little simple exercise that I'm going to share with you. And I think it can help us too. And actually, he goes on to report that it actually transformed his church, the whole countenance, the whole body of Christ of his church. So the five questions are, and it's just an acronym, THINK. THINK. T is it true? That's the first question. Is it true? H is it helpful? I is it inspiring? N is it necessary? And K is it kind? So those are some things to think about before even speaking of someone or even saying anything at all. The first thing is it true? Number one. Another quote I like from Pierre de Marivaux says, "Some people will believe anything if it is whispered to them." Did you know that, Rob? Did you know that about Casey? I'll tell you later. It is. 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Rid yourselves of it. God gave me just an incredible analogy just the other day. We had the perfect storm above our Provo church. I mean, the perfect storm. It's like God opened up the fire hose right on top of our building. And a bunch of water came inside the building. A bunch of water. And it flooded some of the classrooms. And it just kind of... Thank God for Paul Linhart. He's a brother in our church that's been mopping all week long. And he's got it cleaned up pretty good. I just praise God for him. But, so Paul and I, we were working on the church the other day and trying to get all this water out of the building. And we opened the door, and lo and behold, there was a snake. And it wanted to come in the church. And it gave me such a visual. We swung open the door, the light came in, and there's a snake wanted to come right in. And I do not like snakes. And as a younger man, I just killed them. I would just kill them. If I saw a snake, I said, "There's nothing good about them. I will kill it." And because they just kind of creep me out. And I've grown in that, so I don't kill them any longer. But when I saw this one, that's what I thought. I looked at Paul, and I thought, "Paul, let's kill it." But I was just thinking, not snakes, just like slander and gossip. You know, he wants to get in the church. He wants to get in there. We see it time and time again. It just wants to come in. And Satan, that's one of his tools, is slander and gossip. He just wants to separate us. He doesn't want us to accomplish things for the kingdom. He doesn't want us to be united and go to Europe and Honduras and all the ends of the earth with the gospel. And one of his tools, common tools, is for brothers and sisters to get under each other's skin, to irritate each other, because we do. We do. But we can work through it. But that snake was just a visual for me. So, oh, God, thank you for that illustration. I'm going to use that for years to come. I could fit in so many things. That's because I shut the door, and Paul just kind of grabbed it and threw it out of the way. And I'm thinking, kill it, kill it, kill it. Open the door again, it came right back in. It just wanted in there. Just wanted in there. And I said, I know what we can do with that slander and gossip. Let's just kill it. Just not do it. Let's not let it in the church. Not here. Not for us. No. Let's just keep it out. Keep it out. We need to be men and women that are faithful to let it die. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7 says, "My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness." I so appreciate Bill talking about how often you got a picture. Well, here's Solomon writing to his sons. And he wants to teach them. He wants to get it, you know. And I've taught my children there's certain things I just want them to get it. Seems like a lot of stuff, maybe I'm not that good a communicator because it just goes, it's like, okay, yeah, But I just, Solomon here, I think, my mouth speaks what is true, my son. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. And son and daughters, that's what I want for you. I want you to speak what is true and detest wickedness and keep that snake out of your life. Just keep it out of your life. You know, I just appreciate Solomon. You know, and I can, I sometimes can be a hypocrite. It's true. I mean, sometimes when I'm telling stories, I have the tendency to maybe embellish them a little bit. You know, like, you know, I caught a fish that far from shore. but and I can be guilty of that, and I think if we're honest, we all can. There's certain little half truths we can tell, or things to make it sound more sensational or exciting. You know, I didn't just go to Walgreens while I was there. I saw this guy. You wouldn't believe it. And we want to tell a story. We want everybody to pay attention to us. And lots of times that's the sensationalism we want to bring to the story. And we have to be careful with that. Because oftentimes we're dragging stuff that isn't true into the conversation. Someone else hears it, and on it goes like a forest fire. I like what Abraham Lincoln has to say. Truth is generally the best vindication against slander. So true. Number two, is it helpful? Here's a verse for you. If nothing else tonight, I'd like you to go away with this. And hopefully many of you have this memorized, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's a verse for you. Take that one, write it on a 3x5 card, put it on your refrigerator, put it as a screensaver, hang it on your review mirror, dangle it, make a little dice out of it so you just see it constantly. This one verse, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. God's pretty clear, but only what is helpful. Only what is helpful. We even have a tendency to tease each other and call each other's names, and that can even creep over into hurting someone's feelings. You know, we have to be careful what we say. Only what is helpful. So if what I'm saying, is it helpful? Is it going to help this person if I call him an idiot? Hey, you idiot. You know, and I was just guilty of that last night. I was just telling some kid out in front of our church that what he was doing. He told me he was doing something. He had a broken foot. And I said, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? You know, he's out there playing hacky sack. He had a broken foot. Do you have any ibuprofen? I said, that's dumb. Why are you out there playing hacky sack? And, you know, that wasn't kind. He didn't need to hear that. And I probably hurt his feelings. And that's, you know, it sounds funny, but that's not right. I shouldn't, that's wrong. I repent of that. That was not, you know, I need to go back to him and tell him that next time I see him, that it may benefit those who listen. So I'm not sure if me calling this fellow dumb would benefit him. You know, maybe, I don't know. I think just the point is we have to be, is it helpful? Does it benefit those who listen? We don't have to say everything that comes to our mind. Sometimes it can be like a contest. You knock me, I'll knock you. You make me look stupid, I'll make you look stupid. You know, especially roommates, we can just go for it. And I think we need to be sensitive. And I like what Charles Swindoll had to say. He says, "If you don't say it, they can't repeat it." If you don't say it, they can't repeat it. So if we're not saying things that are harmful, then someone else doesn't have the opportunity to repeat what we may have said that was harmful. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Well, there you go. You know, when a fire finishes burning, you know, if you're camping or whatnot, and you spread it all out so it'll fizzle out, when it runs out of material, it goes out. It's the same with gossip. When gossip reaches the ear of someone who will not repeat it, it dies out. It stops. We need to be those men and women where it just dies. It stops. Stops burning with us. Just stop. Just, you know what? You go talk to them about that. If you have a problem with them, you need to go talk to them. I just don't feel that comfortable about what you just shared with me. Why don't you just go get it right with them and just let it drop, or don't continue it, no matter how juicy it is. You know, just let it die. You need to be men and women that do that. See, gossip is, like other sins, it's like tasty trifles. Is another version, Proverbs 26:22. We like to hear it and share it with others because it tastes good. Gossip is rooted in our need to feel good about ourselves, really. This is what David Roper had to say in one of his Our Daily Breads report. It's just, as we bring others down, we gain the illusion that we are moving upward. As we knock other people down, for some, it creates illusion that we're better than they are. Somehow, and I think that's why we feed on it. That's why gossip is so difficult to resist. It takes prayer and God's grace to bring us to a point where we refuse to pass it on or to even hear it. Even under the guise of personal concern or a request to pray for a sinning friend in trouble, gossip can pass hands. You know, with good intentions, we can even pass on things. Even in our prayers, we're praying for something that might be a little more personal, intimate than we should be praying out loud in front of some others. Might not be the appropriate place for it. We need to consider that. We must ask God for wisdom to know when to speak, what to speak, and when to simply keep our mouths shut. For in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. That's just good advice. He who restrains his lips is wise. It's often wise to be quiet and speak few words. But if we must speak, let's talk of those things that encourage and move others closer to God, not those things that will discourage and hurt them. The tongue of the wise promotes health. We need to do that. We need to be people that help each other and promotes health, good health. Destroy gossip by ignoring it. Three, is it inspiring? Psalm 65:8, when talking about the Lord, says, those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. God inspires shouts of joy. And we can be those people that inspire others. I'll take it a step further. We can inspire people for good things, and we can inspire people for wrong things. You know, if I'm saying the F-bomb constantly, I can inspire you to start using that. It's okay for Mac to do it. Why can't I do it? Why shouldn't I? I will. And so we can inspire people, even in the littlest things. You know, I've had a six-pack. Is that enough? Probably. I think I'll have another six-pack. Can inspire someone else. So you're having another six-pack? And so am I. We can inspire in the littlest things, in our tongue, the way we lash, oh my goodness, in our family units, the way we interact as husband and wife. Our little children could be watching, our adult children, our children all their life can be watching us as we are cutting each other or quick to argue. We can inspire people to do the same thing. Also, we can inspire for good things. And you and I, we need to be people that inspire for good, not for things that are harmful. Number four, is it necessary? Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Another quote, author unknown, is whoever gossips to you will gossip of you. Think about that one. Whoever gossips to you will most likely gossip of you. James 4:11 says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. I like this quote by Lisa Kirk that says, "A gossip is one who talks to you about others. A bore is one who talks to you about himself. And a brilliant conversationalist is one who talks to you about yourself." you ever talk to people and someone's asking you about yourself and how good that makes you feel? Let's see. You and I, we need to learn how to do that, how to interact when we're having conversations rather than just, you know, I did this and I did that and, whoa, I have a wisdom tooth and this and that and this and the other thing. But rather than just, you know, are you doing okay? How's that job going? How are things for you? Tell me about your likes and dislikes. What's your passion? You like to do this? Well, let's talk about that. You like the Broncos? So do I. Let's talk about it. Just to bring out other people. I think that's a gift. My wife is just gifted that way in conversationalists. Number five, is it kind? The K of the think. Is it kind? Proverbs 11:17, a kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. Another good one, Proverbs is 11:25, says a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You need to be men and women that are kind. And it just seems like, well, that's kind of like a no-brainer. Well, I don't know. I think we need to be intentional in our kindness. Because we can be, I think we slip into not being kind. That's just kind of automatic. That's kind of our flesh. We just slip into ignoring people at the store and honking at them on the freeway. And that's just the way we're wired. But God wants us to be kind. And that's a muscle as well that we need to work. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Isn't that the truth? You know, I can ruin people's days with just one word. You know, wake up next to my wife and say, hey, get out of bed, or something that just can just send her whole life, her whole day on a certain course. And you can do that at work. You know, I can show up on the job and I can just lay into somebody or not say anything, or I can say, good morning, you know, how are you doing? We've got to do this job together all day together today. Let's create a little atmosphere here that's a little more uplifting than it has been lately. Good morning. I brought you these donuts. Bring them a gift. Whatever. Celery. If they don't like donuts, they bring them something healthy. And we need to be people that are kind, and I think we miss that. You know, I love trying to do that. I love coming to church for years and years. I've often just looked for the person that might be new or someone that might feel kind of out of place. At one time or another, that's all of us. You're that one person that's standing in the corner and nobody's talking to you, or you're new, so you're like, oh, this church is weird. It's not like I've ever been in before. And I've tried to make it a practice that I go and try to find that person, maybe even if they look like they're homeless or whatever, and just say, how are you doing? Are you okay? Can I do anything? You know, have I met you before? And I think I would challenge all of you to do that even tonight. You know, we could break here in a little bit and just all go our separate way, or just go and hang out with everybody that's comfortable with us, or we could change the world by being kind. It starts with that. It starts with just trying to get outside of our little bubble, because I get there too. Don't look at me that way. We all get that way. It's like me world. You know, I got to take care of my needs, and I think God has more for us. And honestly, that's why this building's full of people, because that's what our churches have tried to do all along, is just try to meet the next person and love on them and just try to be kind, try to remember their name. And as a church, you and I, we can get kind of ingrown after a while because we got it going on. We got some people that we all love dearly, and God is building his family of believers together, me and you together, and we love each other. But oftentimes, people can be left out, and guests can come into our church and not even be noticed. And I always say, you know, may that not be in our churches. May people, oh, it breaks my heart to think that people could come in here and leave without us having an opportunity to meet them and love on them. We need to be a church that's not just consumers, but we're ready to help the next person. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. And one life started, you know, even the Honduras team, that started with one person. God got a hold of their heart. Pretty soon there's a whole team going to a different part of the country. It starts with you. In kindness, you and I, we need to learn how to be kind and compassionate and soft and uncomfortable. Uncomfortable at times. Step out in faith and try to be kind to the next person. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Do it. I like this quote from Henry Drummond. Says, the greatest thing a man can do for his heavenly Father is to be kind to some of his other children. You know, our best defense against slander and gossip is, I like that little acronym that Alan Redpath came up with. Think. Okay, the first thing, is it true? Is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring for good? N, is it necessary? Lots of things aren't necessary, I think, that we might try to communicate. And K, is it kind? Is it a kind word? Is what am I saying? Is it going to build somebody up or is it going to tear them down? You know, I gave this message a couple times in Provo already. And God, each time, I think, gives me something a little bit different at each location. I think he always does. We typically will give one of these messages at five locations. But lots of people came up, all convicted, and tell me, you're the hammer. God brought it to me. I'm so convicted. And I just want to say, hallelujah. You know, Jesus died on the cross. And when he died, he said, it is finished. So his blood has washed away any slander or gossip or any other kind of sin. It is gone. Bible says that it is as far as the east is from the west. And saints, if you're a believer, you just know that. Yeah, we all messed up. We have. But we can repent. We can turn. We can rejoice that it's taken care of. God did a good job of dying on the cross for our sins. And he rose from the dead and he conquered death. And he's alive today. And if you don't know him, you know, if you haven't started a relationship with Jesus, oftentimes a teaching like this, you'll be confronted with sin, which is good. It's good to get convicted and say, you know what? I am guilty. I am guilty. I've done that. I am wrong here. And that's a good place to be. If you haven't started a relationship with God, it's good to know, oh my goodness, I need help here. And the thing is, God knows that, and he wants you to walk towards him. And that sin, the Bible actually says that the penalty, the wage that we earn for sin is death. And there's just a physical death. We're all going to die. You're going to die, I'm going to die. And for the sin or missing the mark, whether it's slander or gossip or lying or stealing or whatever it might be, even in our thoughts, that sin against a holy God. But God has an answer for that. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. A spiritual death is not having that relationship with God. You don't have that. You're spiritually dead. So when you physically die, whether you get hit by a bus or have a heart attack or however it is, you will die somehow, whether it's old age or whatever. When you physically die, if you spiritually don't have a relationship with Jesus, there's an eternal consequence. That's the only headline that we should see in the paper today. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And the world misses it. The world misses it. And you might even be at a place where you're feeling guilty now. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. He knew he loved us too much just to leave us in our sin. He knew we needed help. So God came to the earth as a little baby Jesus in a manger, a little helpless, in humility, stepped onto the earth, fully God, fully man, for you and for me. He lived on the earth. He had disciples. And he was sinless. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Jesus was. for that sin, whether it be slander or stealing, whatever sin. You go look at the Ten Commandments, we're all guilty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short there. You and me and everybody in here. Maybe this is the first time this message, maybe it's your timing, because it always is God's timing. Maybe tonight's the night that God wants you to turn to Him and repent. Say, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. Because He's the only one that can. I'm guilty. I've sinned against you, a holy God. Please forgive me. And He wants to. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. For you, for that sin. It's taken care of. His blood was enough. It washes us clean. And He invites us to have relationship with Him. He just wants us to know Him and believe Him. Repent. Place our trust in Him and Him alone. In Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That could be you tonight. That could be you tonight. You will be saved. God wants all to be saved. He died on the cross for you. He's dying to know you. He lives. He wants the best for you. And those of us that know Christ, you need to know there's freedom even in our slander or gossip or the sin that we mess up on. Christ died for those sins. They're gone. Hallelujah. Isn't that freeing? That is so freeing. It is. And you know, if this is the first time you're at a place where, what's he talking about? Or you feel maybe God's tugging on your heart. You know, there's a number of us. You can go back to the connections booth. Or please, if you want to talk to me, I want to be approachable. I'll be here afterwards. Please come up and talk to me and say, could you talk to me a little bit further about that? And I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to. I'd love to. And we want you to know Jesus. We want you to know Him. And that's the whole mission of this church. The rock is Christ. and he's just got a plan for each and every one of us. So I'm just going to say a prayer, and we'll sing another song together. Father God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you. Not that long ago, it seems like, I turned to you, and someone shared that message with me, Lord. Just really simply that I sinned and I needed a Savior, that I was guilty and that you died on the cross for me and that your blood on the cross atoned for my sins. You forgave me completely. All I had to do is place my trust in you. And I did, God. I placed my trust in you and you did save me. You're such a good Father. Lord, I just think of anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord. I pray they'd come to know you, Lord. I think of all the people in Honduras that were shared with over the 50 homes and all the different times the gospel was shared in Honduras, Lord. We pray for lasting fruit, Lord. We pray that would be genuine fruit, people that would turn to you and love you and have relationship with you and in turn share with more and more and more people in Honduras, Lord God. May we hear in years to come of more people coming to know you, Lord. And help us as a church, Lord, just to be kind and to reach out to anybody and everybody we meet. We just love you, God, and thank you that you're so faithful. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.